Okay, so I'm here today to talk about excellence as a means of two things. One is glorifying God, and the second thing is that if we're excellent in our business, it becomes a customer magnet. It draws customers right past our competitors. One of the things that I've learned over the years is that business is a tool that allows me to do anything in life that I want to do. It allows me to accomplish a lot of other things, whether it be ministry or spending time with my family, but it's and the principle is to work on the business, not just in the business. The company that I started, Orthomolecular Products, it took us, we've in a sense been an overnight success story that took 24 years to develop. It's an accumulation of many, many years of hard work. Here's what I want to say this morning is that your work matters to God. And we want to throw away the idea that the Gnostics had, that matter is evil, that spirit is good. We believe that our work is important to God. How we do our work is important to God. In fact, one of my favorite quotes is from William Gurnall, the Puritan, and he said, "Thy work and thy life must go off the stage at the same time." So here's a huge opportunity. If you're familiar with the story about processionary caterpillars, they follow the caterpillar in front of them. In fact, you can put a chain of processionary caterpillars together. You can put food 2 inches away from them, and they will literally starve to death because they will follow the caterpillar in front of them, even though food is only 2 inches away from them. And I'm asking you today, I want to encourage you to step out of line, to do the extraordinary. Hey, listen, there's no traffic jams on the extra mile. And I believe that excellence is a means in which that you can build your life, you can build your business. So let me tell you a story about the rental car bus in Cleveland, Ohio. I have to go there once a quarter on business. And Cleveland is a blue-collar town. It's a tough town. The weather's cold, typically, and people don't smile very often. And there's one bus driver that stands out. And when I see people like this, I want to grab my children. I want to explain it to them. I want to show them these life lessons. But here's one guy that will not let you touch your own bag. He loads the bags for you. He will not let anybody pick up their own bag. Most of those bus drivers, they're all probably union. They all probably make $20 an hour. Here's this guy, smiling, serving. And I watch him as customers get off the bus and they're all piling money into his hand. That guy probably makes twice as much as all of the other bus drivers, just simply because he's doing his job excellently. In Hebrews 11:4, we learn that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it being dead yet speaks. And then from we get that from Genesis 4:1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, "I've gotten thee a man from the Lord." And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, "Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." Now listen, I understand the regulative principle, that the offering was not as God had prescribed. God required a blood sacrifice, as we see with Adam. The fig leaves were not sufficient. But I think there's a principle here, and I think that Cain was really saying, "Really, God? My offering is not good enough for you." How many times is the work that we do not very remarkable? See, I believe that good is the enemy of great. The difference between water boiling and creating steam and just hot water is 1 degree. 211 degrees, nothing happens. 1 degree and you can move a steam engine. It doesn't take that much more effort to move from being good to being great. And in a world of commoditization, how do you stand out? And sometimes I think we lose customers because they're saying, "Really? I went with your competition because I just wanted to see what else is out there." A lot of times we go to meetings or we do a presentation or we just wing it. We're not prepared. That is not excellence. Hey, Proverbs 20:11 says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure, whether it be right. Proverbs 22:29, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. He shall not stand before average common people. God will bring him to a place of a platform where he stands before kings. If his work is diligent, if he's applying everything, all of his strength to do it. See, and you and I, we ought to do everything for the glory of God. We don't need any more motivation than that, than for the glory of God. In fact, the Lord said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and as a result of your good works, they will glorify your Father which is in heaven. I think that's how God rewards us. But I think the world rewards us by giving us their business. When they see excellence, they give us their business. And sometimes they give us the opportunity to share the hope that lies within us. Some time ago, we had some concrete work done at our house. We had a circle driveway put in, and a guy was referred to us. He had fish all over his truck. He had fish on his business cards. And my wife actually had to close the windows because he was cursing and screaming at his employees all day long. I think we need to be careful that we don't. Sometimes we use those fishes and we take the name of the Lord in vain by doing that. We need to represent our Father extremely well. So excellence starts with you. It starts in your family. It starts with your employees. So what does excellence look like? Hey, it's extraordinary. It's exceptional. It's stunning. It's wow. It's better than what everybody else is doing. We had some work done By a mason. We had a fireplace that we didn't really like. We wanted the stonework redone, and there was somebody referred to us, and he was retired. And when I called him, he said he would do it. He didn't really do much anymore. His sons took over the business, but the guy was an artist, and the stonework was exceptional. In fact, his area was so clean at night, and he would have his tools set out like he was a dentist. And they were all cleaned and ready to go the next day. And that's what I'm talking about, excellence. See, anybody can lay stone, but to do it in a way that's excellence glorifies God. Not perfection. Your customers, my customers, they can't afford perfection, but they deserve and demand excellence. So it means that the job is always done right. Hey, if you're fixing cars, it means that it's fixed right the first time. It means that it comes in on budget. It means that it's done on time. It means that they return it to you cleaner than they took it in. It means that somebody actually smiled and thanked them for their business. So how do we move to excellence? It begins with a vision, okay? And I like to call this a preferred future. Down here is our current reality. We're going to spend all of our time in the future. As much as it depends on us, God is sovereign, God is directing our steps. But as much as it depends on us, why not create a future that we like? So we start out down this course. We begin with a vision. A vision is what you hope to achieve. So if I want to get to Phoenix, that's my vision. I'm gonna get to Phoenix. Mission becomes, how am I gonna get there? There's lots of ways to get to Phoenix. I can take a bus, I can take an airplane, I can get in a car, and I can go 1,000 different routes. My plan becomes how to get there, but I have to be clear about where I'm going. So when I talk about excellence in life, excellence in business, I have to define it. So when it comes to products, what does your product look like? How do I design it? See, here's what our customers want. They want a defect-free product delivered to them by somebody that cares. Delivered on time. Somebody smiles at them. In our business, in the supplement world, what that means for us is it's a product that's effective. It means that there's no window dressing. A lot of companies, they actually make products, and the research says you need 200 milligrams of this, and they'll throw 2 milligrams in so they can get it on the label. We used to do some contract manufacturing, and people would ask us to make products like that, and we'd say, 2 milligrams, really? It's not going to have any effect on anything. Oh, yeah, but we can get it on the label. That's not an excellent product. We use the highest quality raw materials we can absolutely buy, okay? And what that does, when you do things excellently, you're separated from your competition. You're able to sell at higher prices so that you're not just doing price transactions. We call the transactional, the price buyer, we call it drilling holes in the bottom of your boat. And we like to pass the transactional buyers on to our competitors and let them drill holes in the bottom of their boat. I heard the story recently of a carpenter. His best carpenter was retiring, and he went to the boss and said, "I'm going to retire." And the boss said, "Hey, would you do me a favor? Can you just build me one more house?" And he said, I think I can do that." And so he built the house, and as they were finishing it up, the boss came and said, are you satisfied with the quality?" And the boss noticed that the quality he began to drop. And he said, "Yeah, I think I'm satisfied." And he said, "Okay." He goes, "This is your house. I wanted to give this to you as a reward for your many years of faithful service. Give them your very, very best. Make it your differentiator. How about when it comes to service? You have to define what your standard of service is. If you're in a business where you have to send out bids, okay, get your bids sent out on time. Set a standard. My bids are going to be mailed within 24 hours, within 48 hours. You set the standard, but whatever it is, there's got to be a standard. If you're a financial planner, you define the experience. Hey, the customer is going to come in, the client, they're going to wait in the waiting room for 2 minutes. After 2 minutes, the receptionist is going to offer them tea or coffee or water. And you have the whole process mapped out. You've defined it, and you follow it. When it comes to fulfillment on products, okay, you need to be consistent. They did a study at Harvard, in a Harvard Business Review, and they basically said that your customers would rather have consistently bad service than to have good service and bad service, because when you're inconsistent, you drive them mad. So you need to have consistent high service levels. For us, our standard is 99%. So 99% of orders that are called in by 3 o'clock go out that day completely fulfilled. So we have 150 products in our line. So every order, we do in excess of 400 orders every day. They might order 100 items. For that to count as being completed, it has to have every item has to be fulfilled in that one order. When we look at phones, how you set a standard on customer service. How many rings before you answer? How long will you allow your customers to wait on hold? We track all of that. You know, if you're just starting out, you do what you can. Eventually, you can grow into better and bigger systems, but you start with where you are. Horst Schultz, who is one of my heroes when it comes to customer service, he built Ritz-Carlton into the only hotel chain ever to win the Malcolm Baldrige Quality Award. But hey, here's the deal, behind the smiles, everything was a system. To get bellmen that are phenomenal bellmen, they would interview 400 people to get a bellman. They had a profile just for a bellman. This is what the perfect bellman looks like. See, you can smile and you can smile, but you can mess everything up. You can be the kindest, gentlest, nicest CPA, but if you always mess up their taxes, they're not going to give you any business. So you have to be exceptional at what you do. And you have to be friendly and kind and smile and thank them for their business. Hey, professionals know more about a customer's business than they do. You need to know more about your customers and their business if you're in a B2B business than they do. If there's problems, these are a great opportunity to grow your business, because you need it when there's an issue, and there will be issues. You have to quickly resolve the issues. When there's recurring problems, fix it. Make it go away. Don't keep trying to fix the same thing over and over again. One of the things that I learned from Horst Schultz is that when they have a problem, he looks for patterns. He doesn't look, if there's an issue with a concierge somewhere, no problem if they get a complaint on a concierge, but if they get 10 complaints for the same concierge in the same hotel, they go back and they don't look at the concierge, they look at the process. Did we follow the process? Did we interview 200 people? Did we train them right when we got them on board? Did we talk about our philosophy? This is our vision. This is how we treat our customers. And then would we follow up and continue to remind them of what we do. See, I talk all the time with our employees about vision and mission. This is what we do. These are our values. And about the time that you get tired of talking about them is about the time that your people are just starting to understand them. How about facilities? Are they clean, neat, orderly? Are they bright? Are they cheery? It says a lot about you. It says a lot about your God is how orderly and neat the facilities are. How about your people? You can't grow a business with the wrong people. How do you get, you have to continually train people. You have to set a standard. This is what punctuality means. For us, punctuality means not just showing up on time, but it means showing up, I look prepared, I look the part, I look good, and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to contribute. I don't look like I just rolled out of bed. I can be on time, but I'm of no value. I think when, especially training children, when we're training employees, it's the same. Maybe the employees and the children are the same. Don't just answer their questions when they say, how should I do this? I have a customer on line one and they want to do this. Don't tell them what to do. Ask them what they would do. What do you think we should do? Well, I think this is how we should do that. Good, do it. I had a longtime employee that she used to always call me and she'd say, I've got a customer that wants to do X. You know, what should I do with him? And I would do that with her. And about after the third time, she said, I know. What would I do? I never had to train her again. So the people represent you. They represent Christ. And I have a philosophy in hiring. I like to hire the best. And if I can't afford the best, I like to hire the young that are going to be the best. You need to set up systems and processes that are excellent. And for some of you, if you're an entrepreneur and your business is growing, you have to learn how to stop rowing and start steering. You're going to have to spend more time steering. You're going to need to spend more time working on the business, not in the business. I have a philosophy that I've worked under that's to step up and step out, step up and step out. But in order to do that, I have to keep working to train other people to take over, to do it better than I do it. So we start out with a vision. Here's where we're going. We got to design it. We have to understand where we're going with it. And then secondly, we develop a roadmap that basically becomes our plan. How do we get there? And for us, we set three-year landing points between where we are today and where we're going. And these are where we hope to be in 3 years that moves us nearer to our vision. And then we break it down into one-year tactical plans. And we work off of the plan. Business plans, Peter Drucker said, are worthless. The process of planning is invaluable. And then lastly, you need to execute the plan. And if you're a visionary, I'm a visionary guy, I have to surround myself with people that are good at execution because I'm always on to the next thing. And when you put people around you that are good at executing, because most people, they have good plans, but they don't follow through. So we do this by faith. We do it by faith. Abel offered a better sacrifice. He did it with faith, believing that God is and that He is a rewarder. And we can do all things through Christ, His power, which works so mightily in us. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all diligence for the glory of God. Do it excellently. I think we miss so many opportunities because we are sloppy. If you clean houses, clean them for the glory of God because God enjoys clean house. As Christians, we have a better advantage. And right now, you don't even have to be that great. You just have to be better than average. Before you can be kingdom class, you have to be world class. The world demands excellence, and I think it gives us an audience. Let me close with this verse about Solomon and Sheba, or the Queen of Sheba. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I'd heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. Solomon's excellence was far more. It was more than she'd even heard. May that be our testimony. Daniel, Prophet Daniel, he had an excellent spirit, and we ought to be excellent as well. Thank you.